Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go.
So my guest today is Kelvin Corelli. He's an investor, entrepreneur, speaker, author, mentor, spiritual coach, and the founder of Simplero, an all-in-one platform for coaches. We're going to talk about all of that today. But first, welcome and thank you for joining us, Kelvin.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Give me a bit of a background. Tell me a little bit about yourself. How did your journey start and how did you get to do what you do today?
Yeah, I was born into programming. Both my parents were programmers, so I found a love for coding very early on. It was also very convenient because I was kind of like I was bullied in school, and I didn't have a lot of friends, and I was kind of like very emotionally broken, and so computers were like a safe place for me. And then I started Simplero in 2008 after a journey. I'd started a software consulting firm where we did coding for hire and then gone on a personal growth journey. And that led to a moment where I was like asking myself, okay, what am I here to do on this planet? Like, what does I really want to do if I can do anything? And the answer for me was on integrating spirituality and entrepreneurship. That to me is kind of the most interesting place to be. I'd seen a lot of tech companies that were, they didn't have that heart or purpose piece in it. And so like, it's like, to me, it's like, well, what's the point if we're not feeling like we're doing something that's on purpose for us? And then when things get tricky, we tend to give up, right? Because it's it was an idea. It wasn't really like something that we felt deeply passionate about. Plus, I feel like all the problems and challenges that we meet as entrepreneurs are really personal problems that show up in business. And so if we address them on the personal problem level, then we can really solve it. So that way kind of the business becomes our spiritual gym, which is how I see it.
Yeah, that absolutely makes all sense. And unfortunately, like as with many things in life and business, people, like when you actually spell it out, it's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. It's obvious. But when it comes to actually doing it and living it, we like mess it up so much and learn, unfortunately, the hard way. We're like, yeah. we can't. And so I'm going to get back to that. But before that, since we at Smart Branding started us, at least with a more of a focus on naming and branding. And when I was preparing for the interview, I came across a video you have on your YouTube channel where you were talking about you actually changed your name. Because usually, like I deal with people who change the name of their company for different reasons, and that's already many find challenging. So like that's really something rare, and I'm very curious to hear more about that. Like, why and how did you change your name?
It was a couple of different reasons. Hang on, someone's calling me here.
Of course.
How do I anyway. So yeah, it's a couple of different reasons. So I was the name that I was given by my parents, bless their hearts, never quite sat right with me. Like I didn't really feel, I don't know, something about it that wasn't something I totally loved. And then when I moved from Denmark to the US, it was really complicated because it's a very Danish name, especially my last name, which was a Pind, which is P-I-N-D, but with a silent D. And it's like, it was really hard to communicate with people and get that right. And then I met my wife, and she had changed her name using numerology. And around that time, I met a bunch of people who were into numerology. And I'm like, all right, like that sounds fun. Let's see what that does. Because I at that point, I'd been through a journey where for most of my life, I was really resisting anything to do with psychotherapy or psychology or coaching or any of that stuff. I was like, oh, no, you can't do that. It's bad or it's dangerous or it's, you know, it's just like some kind of babble like bullshit or whatever, or it means that if you need that, it means you're already broken and you might as well just go kill yourself. That was kind of my mindset around this stuff. And so then when I opened that door, I realized, oh, there's a lot of value here. And then I was like, all right, numerology, let's try that. Like, what's the worst that could happen, right? And so I actually signed up with a numerologist, sat down, and he did this, like, there's a lot of math and stuff, and there's different systems, but whatever he was using, he was like, okay, here's your current name and how your life is. And he read that out loud and it sounded pretty yucky. And it was like, yeah, that sounds pretty much exactly how my life is. And he's like, great. And here's, if we pick these new numbers, so you pick the numbers, like how many names and what the value of the numeric value of each name should be. So if you pick these values, numbers, then this is what your life would be like. And I was like, that sounds a lot better. And so, and then it's basically then like a list of, he gave me some lists of names that would match those numbers. And I looked at that and I got freaking terrified. I freaked out. I was like, crap, like what? Damn it. Now, like, I have to actually change my name. I'd never thought that through to its conclusion. I was like, shit, that's scary. What are people going to say? What are they going to think about me? And like, oh, it's weird. And so I actually sat on it for about a year until I was finally, all right, cool. Let me do this. And that was, I sat down with my wife and we looked over some lists and I wrote some code, obviously, to create lists of last names in particular, because there's a lot of options for last names. And to play around with different options there. And then I settled on the name that I did then. And I actually changed it twice since, but it was smaller changes, because my wife started studying numerology and then she was like, oh, like there's like, you know, it's math. So you can like, oh, how do we optimize this? So that's how that came about. Yeah. And I'll say, well, two things. Wait, one, I picked the name Calvin because of Calvin Coolidge. He was the 30th president of the United States. And he had this quote that I came across at some point. And I kept looking at that quote and it kept me going through so many years that were challenging, which is that nothing will take the place of persistence. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Talent will not. Unrewarded. No, that's, yeah. Lots of people with talent who didn't make it anything. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Determination and persistence alone are omnipotent. Something like that is the quote. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'd read that and be like, oh yeah, there's hope for me, right? If this worked for the president, there's hope for me. And so that's why I picked the name Calvin. And then lo and behold, I mean, my name, my life actually ended up being better in all of the ways that the guy had promised. So I don't know if this works or it's just a testament to the fact that I kept on keeping on, or I do think that there's so much power in taking ownership of your name, that like there's so much identity in our name. So I think the psychological effect alone of saying, hey, I can change my name. If I can change my name, I can change fucking anything about myself. Like, I think there's a lot of power in that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have definitely seen it, and we have a lot of research, and it's very much what we do at Smart Branding, on the side of companies choosing the right name, changing the name when they realize it's not serving them. And sometimes it's because the company itself has changed. And it's just, I haven't actually thought about, I've thought about the importance that we do or do not give to giving people names. And sometimes I feel we're very careless about it.
Right. That's a really good point.
I mean, I have four kids, and I'm going to be honest, and I'm like hoping they're not going to hear me, but actually it's on the fourth one, I really thought a lot about this kid is going to be defined by and judged by and going to have to live with that name forever. Like, what do I want that name to have as a story just to begin with? And then, you know, that person has to grow into it and it has to fit. And maybe it won't, because you can't know, you know. And that's like on kid number four. Like, usually we get that wrong on the outset. And it's amazing that people do seem to put more work, and if you ask me, still not enough, into naming a company or a product, you know, a brand, than we do with naming people.
Yeah. It's a really good point, right? And so the good news is that people can actually choose to change their names, but most people don't. But I mean, you see it with artists as well, right? Lady Gaga is Stephanie, I think. And Sting is Gordon and whatnot. So it's common in the music industry and the artist industry that people choose a name on purpose. They might not go change their legal name like I did, but they do bring intention to the name that they brand themselves as. And yeah, why wouldn't we all do that?
Absolutely. And I think what you just described as challenges you faced, you know, coming up to that, building up to that, that taking that step actually to, you know, okay, I'm going to do that and choosing the name. They are in a way very similar to what entrepreneurs feel when it comes to their company names. And I've seen a lot of that where, like, there's that doubt, you know, is it really going to change something, or there is that commitment they feel they have to the old name, or how are people, you know, going to perceive that change, and you know, all the risks that go with it. So yeah, it's fascinating that you've experienced that on the personal front as well. Has it changed in a way how?
I was just going to say, like, one thing is that's been interesting is because at the same time I moved from Denmark to America. And so going back to old relationships that I haven't spoken with in a while, like, sometimes I still have like a sender name as my old name sometimes. Like, so it's like, you know, so when I email someone that I haven't spoken with in a long time, it's like, hey, this is like my old name and I changed my name. I don't know if you saw that. Like, most people have seen it on social media and whatnot. So they're kind of, they're up to speed, but I don't want to assume, right? So like, when you get an email from a stranger that you like a name you've never heard before, right? So, so that, I think that was the practical thing that actually like surprised me the most, or I hadn't really thought through.
And do you feel it has changed in a way, that process has changed your approach to, because you're a serial entrepreneur, you're also advising entrepreneurs with regards to their business. Has that experience changed how you see the naming process when it comes to companies and choosing a brand name, for example?
Well, I did the same with my company, because originally Simplero was Zen Billing. And then when we filed for a trademark, there's a company called Zendesk that had an issue with the fact that we were Zen something. They figured they would own Zen anything within software. And so we ended up changing the name, and I, because like they're venture funded and we were just like, you know, bootstrap startup. So I went and there's numerology for company names as well and product names that works differently from people. And so I went, this was the product that we named. So not the company Simplero, but they're kind of synonymous, but it was technically the product. And so same kind of thing. So I wrote some software that would help me make that easy. And like I asked all my customers, what do they like the most about the software? And simple was like a key thing. And then I played around with different endings and what was like, look up on domains and see if .com was available for that. And like, I automated all of that stuff and landed on Simplero. I remember like when I saw that .com was available, I was like, oh my God, like get that one right now. Yeah.
Yeah, that was going to be another question of mine, like your thoughts on domains. And I noticed you also got your name with the .com extension as well, where you have your personal presentation, which is, you know, your personal brand, which is different from the company. What's your experience on that? And you mentioned you come from a coding, you know, technical background, and then you have your own experience. How have you seen, we've heard a lot of people saying, you know, domain names are dead. There was going to be like applications were going to kill them, browsers were going to kill them. I don't know what's going to kill them now. Like, well, what's your experience with that?
No, I mean, they obviously still matter a lot, right? Like, especially for someone like us in Simplero, where where it's not just our domain name, it's also the domain name of all of our members are going to have Simplero.com in them. So for that, really wanted the .com. I mean, now we have a truck ton of TLDs, of top level domains, right? So, but it still seems like .com reigns supreme. There are others like .io that have kind of made become hip, more so than like .net or something like that, right? Like .io is popular. And you know, you're seeing more and more companies that are named their domain name, right?
Mm.
And then it's confusing. We were using a software for a bit called, or we actually using now for some stuff called Close. It was called Close.io, and then they got the .com, and I'm just like, that's weird. Like, it was Close.io. That was the name of the product, as far as I'm concerned. It's a better name. Like, Close is not a good name because like it's too generic, right? But Close.io is great. Like, now I get that it's Close, and it's IO signals kind of software or tech or something. So I get that it's software. So that to me, like, it should have stuck with .io, and maybe like they can buy the .com and just redirect it, but they should have stuck with .io as the name, in my opinion.
It's funny you mentioned that one, because we also use it. And we actually, I was in the process of choosing a CRM for our business at the time when they upgraded to the .com, when they got the .com. And for me, that was because my concern with them comparing them to other CRM softwares was they're new. I was like, it looks good, but I haven't heard of them for a long time, you know, before. They are relatively new on the market. I don't really like the process of getting all of your data into that CRM, you know, getting all of your stuff, get used to it, getting all those processes going. And I'm thinking, like, if they go out of business and I'm going to have to do that again, I really don't want to be doing that. And when I saw them getting the .com, because I know that, you know, dictionary, there's a, you know, I have a personal interest there because I deal with domain names. But for me, it was like, oh, okay, so they've invested in a dictionary word .com name. Usually those cost quite a bit. So they have that commitment of, we're going to be staying for the long run. And they have, so for me, it was a really kind of, okay, yeah, I can trust that company. And I think, for me, it was a very conscious choice because I'm in the space, but a lot of people, without thinking, when they see that, you know, especially short one word .com name with a company, it on some level, it signals trust and authority in that respect, because we're so used to it. You know, the .com has been there for as long as the internet has been around.
Yeah, and that's probably where I come a little bit more from the geeky background, and .io signals to me that like you're a little bit more kind of thing, right? Like a little more hip.
Yeah.
Whereas close.com, now it feels a little stale to me. So yeah, it's funny how that works.
It is. So talk to me about Simplero. Talk to me more about what you do there, like how, who can you help and how?
Yeah, so the problem that coaches, course creators, consultants, people who are primarily selling like information or services, the problem that they run into is that they need like 8-9 different tools to run their business, right? They need something for their website, and then they need some kind of email marketing, email service provider. Then they need a shopping cart or a way to build stuff, charge stuff. And then they need a page builder, funnel builder, something like that. They need a scheduler if they're going to book sales calls or, you know, client calls of some sort. They need surveys. They need maybe like course or community platform or something so they can host their course content or their community or both together, ideally both together, right? Video hosting, affiliate management, like all of these things. And so instead of trying to glue all these different tools together with zaps and rubber bands and all that stuff. And also the problem is that then you're like, you start, like you have to make so many decisions really about like, should I use this or that? Like, you know, sales pipelines, like all the things that go into this kind of business. So many decisions, so many different tools, platforms to switch between, So that's the problem that we solve, is like just have it all in one place and it all talks to each other and knows apps and all just interface with each other, is designed to be used together. And yeah, just make it like, you know, combat complexity, combat decision fatigue. And also the fact that like, if you have all this glued together stuff and something breaks, it's usually it can be really tricky to figure out like where it breaks. And is it like, should I talk to Zapier? Should I talk to this company or that company? Like, what do I, and then they're like, no, it's the other guy. And you bounce you around. And that always happens when you're on vacation, sipping margaritas by the hotel bar or something. So having like one place to go to and like, hey, shit's broken, I don't know why, and we can see everything and we can help you, that ends up being super helpful.
And you said you launched in 2008 or
18? Nine is when we launched this. Yeah, I got into this world in 2008, but I launched this in 2009. Yeah, so 15 years.
That's quite some time, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like coaching business wasn't that much of a thing back then, was it?
Yeah. No, I discovered online courses. And the reason why is I had that personal spiritual growth journey that landed, like that got me to this point of like, I'm here to integrate spirituality and entrepreneurship. That was my big insight. And honestly, that was in 2008. I thought I was the first person on the planet to even think this. Like, it was not a common thing back then. And I looked on Amazon, there was literally one book on the topic, and it was kind of weak. And later I learned that like, it was something other people were thinking about, but it wasn't a thing. Right now it's much more common. And so that's what led me to then figure out like, how do I teach this, and discover online courses, online marketing. And so, yeah, that was pretty early in that. It wasn't like there are others that had been doing it since 2004, that kind of stuff. I think that's probably some of the earliest, but it was still pretty early in that whole game. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in a way you got to develop that as a product, because you did it for yourself.
100%. And I still do that. I still do that. Yeah. We run the entire company on Simplero, and we have our own coaching program called Simplero Academy, which obviously runs on Simplero. And there's so much power in doing that, because I'm in there nitty gritty. I know, understand exactly like where is it clunky? Where do we need to simplify things? And it's an ongoing process of like, it's really the details is where it's at, like really getting those low level details right, that you know, makes it flow and be fun to use.
Talk to me about your coaching. Who is it for? What kind of companies, what type of entrepreneurs you work with on that front?
Yeah, so it's mostly the kinds of entrepreneurs that are on Simplero that we work with, because it just makes it simple and easy. I do have a passion for coaching. Like I meet a lot of entrepreneurs outside of Simplero land that are very successful in their business, doing whatever they're doing, but they're, again, like every business problem is really a personal problem that shows up in business. And that's the area that I'm really, really strong in. Is in pinpointing what that is, and then getting that whatever that is unstuck and moving again, because that's really like, that's been the journey for me for the past 20 plus years, has been like unpeeling all of those layers of that onion, if you will, inside of me. But the other thing that I'm really, really good at is taking a lot of information and then like distilling it down to its core essence. So that's what we do as well on kind of the marketing strategy side. And so a lot of people on the Simplero platform, they need help growing their business, marketing, and building their business. And it's both, right? We need the simple systems and strategies, and we need that inner growth journey that gets us to where we need to be. Like, we have to, it's not just do the things and the results follow. Yeah, it is, but we have to become the kind of person that does those actions and that has those results, right? Because we have all these upper limits and commitments and like kind of core deep beliefs about, well, like I'm not worthy, or I'm not like I'm wrong in some way, or I've done wrong in some way, or I'm not wanted. Like all those things that shape our reality. If we don't address those, we're just fighting against our nature.
How? Because you just mentioned, and I think I completely agree with you on that. That any sort of business problems that we have are actually, you know, coming from or affected in some way from our personal life. But if we were to say, okay, that's the case, that would make it really hard to see, because a lot of people actually try to even, you know, completely separate that. And, you know, that's my work life, that's my personal life. Those two don't, you know, interact at all, nothing to do with each other. And so how would somebody know they would have to reach out to someone like yourself coaching? How would they know they have a problem if they don't see those two as connected at all?
Well, it's usually either I've tried and tried and tried, but it's not working, or like I'm like I've tried to fix this problem for a long time, but it hasn't been fixed yet, right? So then we need to dig deeper. What is it? It's not just about the things that you're, the actions that you're taking. There's some underlying commitment that we need to get to. But the other big one is you've made the money, you've achieved like your financial goal, say, but you still don't feel like good enough, or feel like you've made it, or feel like you're worthy, or that you've proven yourself. Like we all have that pattern of feeling not good enough. And then like we'll try, well, what if I buy another fancy car, or get another house, or make another million or something? And we hope to fill that void inside with those outer accomplishments. And at some point we realize it's never going to happen, because it's not, it's not a hole that can be filled with Lamborghinis.
Sounds like a slogan. I like it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like really learning to be in love, learning to be in intimacy, starting with ourselves. Yeah.
Mm.
It's there's that whole like, and entrepreneurs are the worst at that. It's like, I gotta achieve more, I gotta do more. Like, because there's an underlying feeling of not enough, of not good enough, that we're trying to get away from. And we get very skilled at doing the things that get us the thing that we think is gonna make, like, you know, whether it's money or it's getting the body or, you know, finding the trophy wife or husband or whatever it is. And then we realize, holy crap, I'm still not feeling. So then we're like, I gotta do more. Like,
and at some point we're like, oh dear, right. I'm so guilty of that.
More isn't working.
I'm like, I think I'm working on myself, but it really, I've had periods where it's not just like I'm working myself to the bone, but I'm looking around people and I'm like, how dare they rest? Like, oh, just like, right. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And those are the beliefs that we need to get to and get at, right? What if there's a version of you that as accomplished as you are, but what if there's a version of you that's hiding inside that is here to give something like much bigger, at a much bigger scale, with much more love and connection? And I'm not saying you're not doing that, but you know, there's like, for me, I had a wake up call this fall. I had some, like my heart was, I had this thing where if I got up to standing after lying down, I would get dizzy for like a few seconds. And I had to like, sometimes like I had to like, you know, lean against something to like, and it would pass in like 10 seconds max. There's one time where I actually passed out. It's the only time in my entire life that I passed out. My wife was there to try to catch me, but I'm a little bit heavier than her. So it was like hard. And I wasn't, you know, harmed other than like a slight bruise on my hip, but it was like, okay, like something's going on here. Let me go get it checked. So I went to a cardiologist, which is a fancy way to say a heart doctor. And he was as useless as all the other heart doctors I've ever experienced. I'm not a believer in I have yet to experience any useful insight from any Western trained doctor. he was no exception. So he went and did an EKG and it was something abnormal. And then he was like, but I have no idea what that means. And so he did some other tests and all those tests were like, you're great. You're in fantastic shape. No problem whatsoever. And then he won another $3,000 for some more tests. And I was like, yeah, never mind. So, but the lesson for me, and this is the point, the lesson for me was I'm keeping myself confined to the container of software. And really, and as much as I love software and I'm really good at it, what I am here to do, what I feel called to, is to heal people at scale, on a massive scale, right? People all over the world, especially in this country that I live in now, the US, are suffering. They're in so much pain, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And I don't want to see them suffer. I want to bring people back home to themselves, out of their heads, back into their hearts, their solar plexus, back home, and really see themselves as God beings, right? We all have that God force of like creator element to us. Like, let's fucking own that. And that's that's my mission. Much more. I'm not going to abandon the software. I love it. But now that I am, the more I focus on that mission, the more the software makes, like, there's energy for the software because it's supporting me in that mission. Yeah. But because I'm tapped into that or tied into that mission, yeah, everything just makes so much more sense for me.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Like, once you have that clear, everything else kind of falls into place and you can see what's essential and what's the tool to get you to somewhere else or something else.
Yeah. Yeah. And even though the whole thing started from me feeling called to being a spiritual teacher to entrepreneurs, I got kind of away from that. And was like, well, I first need to focus on the software and do blah, blah, blah on the software. Well, the problem is there's not enough energy there for me. Yeah. And energy is one of the things that I'm really starting to see in my life. Like, energy precedes everything. My energetic state determines my thoughts and my feelings and my actions and my behavior. When I'm in a low energy state, I'll have shitty fucking thoughts and then I'll feel like miserable. And then I'll do shit that doesn't actually do anything for me. When I'm in high energy state, I'll have better thoughts and better feelings, and I'll do better, take better action, but actually deliver the results that I'm after.
Absolutely. As you were saying that, because I'm a runner and that's a very, I think that's one of the reasons I love running. It's because it simplifies. I'm sure you can achieve that in different ways and everybody has their ways. But for me, you know, sports and running, and I discovered it quite late in life, actually. But it does exactly that. And I've had days where I'm like, I would wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like it. And you start, whether you admit it to yourself or not, you start finding the excuses not to go and do that, you know, not to go for a run. And you're like, yeah, but I have so much work to do and I have so much whatever. And then the day is over and you look back and you're like, I didn't actually do any of that because I just felt crappy. And other days I'm like, no, I'm just going to make myself and I'm going to go out and I'm going to run. And you come back and you're like fired up, and by midday you've done all of the things you thought you're not going to finish, you know, by the end of the day. It's just crazy.
No, 100%. And like, acknowledging the state that you're in, the energetic state that you're in, is the first step to shifting it, right? If you want to shift it, if you're low energy, like, just like that for me, it's when I'm like, I'm just gonna will myself before. It's like, no, like, take a minute to actually just acknowledge, like, all right, this is where my energetic is at right now. Accept that. And then that starts to just kind of have things shift a little bit, and maybe it'll shift into a much more usable, helpful, high energy state. Maybe it won't. And either way is fine. Just honor it and acknowledge it. We need some downtime too, you know?
See, that was your thing, like, where you were getting up too quick and you had to like slow down and sit down a little bit before you get up. That was your message there.
That's right. Some downtime. It was cool because I was thinking, like, all right, I think, like, when I, as soon as I left his office, I was like, fuck, like, Like, if I were to die in the next 6 to 12 months, the legacy I want to leave is not the software, it's the healing, right? So it just helped me clarify my priorities so much. And it made me realize, like, I was like, I should start a podcast called Running from Purpose. Because when I looked back at my life, I've done so many crazy things that I don't regret, but so much of it was me trying to run away from my fucking purpose, trying to avoid stepping into my purpose. And this was definitely a wake up call. And like, all my symptoms are gone. So I'm like happy with that. Like, I don't get dizzy anymore. Yay.
That's great. That's great to hear. Tell me about your book. I'm trying to keep this short, but I definitely want you to talk to me about that, to give me a bit of an idea of like what made you write it. What is it about?
You're talking about Show Up and Serve, yeah? Or are you talking about You Are the Product?
No, Show Up and Serve.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Show Up and Serve was really, the idea is that there's so much garbage in the online marketing industry. Like I mentioned, I got into that world in 2008 and I actually quit in 2010. And then I kind of got sucked back in 2019. And I think like there's some good points and there's some good ideas there, but overall that industry is kind of very yucky. And especially it seemed to me that it was all about the sale and not the service, not the serving of people. And for me, that's always been my North Star, and my calling is like serve people. And so what I did in 2010 was I pulled out of all the marketing stuff and I just focused on two things, which is great product, great customer service. Yeah. Really make an awesome product, take really good care of people, serve them well. And that's taken me to, you know, multiple seven figures and like a really thriving business. And that idea, if you just show up every day, committed to serving your people, you can't go wrong. Right, things are going to start happening for you. Like that as the baseline is what most people think they have to do, all the trickery and the like, I made $107,000 and 20 cents in like 4 minutes and 40 seconds or whatever, like all those kind of like hypey, you know, headlines and all that stuff. Like you don't, like show up, committed to serving, you're going to build an audience of people who actually care. Yeah, so that's, and I wanted to also destigmatize, because for me, I feel like as an entrepreneur, there's that emotional roller coaster, right? Like, yay, win, great, feel awesome. Oh, shoot, no, someone canceled or whatever. Like, now I feel like shit. Like, I did a launch and it just completely bombed and I feel like awful. I feel like I'm the biggest loser on the planet. I wanted to just be like, I've gone through that, right? Like, and it's normal and it's okay. Like, you're not wrong for feeling that way. It's not true, but it's human and normal. And so that's a big piece for me, is sharing about my struggles and you know, fears and, you know, I don't know, all the feelings that go into being an entrepreneur. So people understand that it's like, yeah, that's totally part of the journey. It doesn't make you wrong. You don't have to do it. That's the other piece, right? If we just learn to actually feel our feelings and be present with it, then like there's no, you know, and to not believe in reality, you know, like to not resist reality. Like we get hooked at the, oh, I like this and like, I don't like that. But if we can just be present with all of it, and see the beauty in all of it, then we don't have to have that roller coaster. It doesn't have to be as extreme. But even if you are experiencing that, like, it's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's, as you were saying it, that if you have that idea, and you can apply that to life and business, you know, just doing your best, serving people, then you can't control, you know, whatever happens on the other side, but then that feeling of I did my best,
right?
I think that totally should take a lot of that emotional roller coaster away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not like you can't, like, there are other things you can do for sure, but to me, that's kind of the foundation, is like, if you show up every day and serve people, good things are going to happen.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, that's a great sort of a message to end on. Last thing, what are you looking forward to this year? What are you like excited about?
lots of things. A big one is publishing my next book, which is You Are the Product. And is this whole idea that people are really attracted to you and your energy. Like people think they have to be a certain way, or like they look at how others do it and they try to kind of fit into that box versus just like be unapologetically yourself. And it sounds like the easiest thing in the world to do. How could you be anything else? But that's part of the program that we all have, right? We learn between the ages of 1 and 2 is where we start to get mobile, and we go from dopamine, yay, like exploring adventure, to like noradrenaline when our parents or guardians say, stop, don't do that. Blah. And so we create that split inside of like good me, bad me. And so the journey is really to make peace with bad me and incorporate it into, and really see that bad me actually holds some really powerful shit that you might want to put out there in your business, in your personal brand. And then you start to attract people who want to do business with you because of who you are and not for the facade that you're putting out there. Because that's kind of the suckiest thing that you can possibly do, right? Is like, is play a persona that's not you and then attract clients that want the false you. And now you're stuck having to try to be that. Like, it's not a fun way to run your business.
Yeah, I love that. I'm looking forward to that. That sounds very interesting. And it's funny because I love that the good you and bad you. And it reminds me, I have a terrible memory like that for some things. And I haven't actually put the thought into what makes the difference between the two. But for some things, I can remember like small details like from 20 years ago. Other things, like I literally have movies I've seen, you know, 5 times and I can watch them a 6 times. It's going to be like the first time I watch it. But because awesome. I have that, I know.
But because I have on your movie budget,
because I have that terrible memory, I can't really lie, because I can't keep. You know, you have people, and literally, I'm amazed even to that day. Actually, more as an adult than I was as a kid, that people lie to themselves before actually other people, and create exactly what you mentioned, those personas that the energy that takes to maintain that is just crazy. And I've just never been able to do it, just because I cannot. Like when I was little, even like I would, when somebody starts a conversation with, don't tell that too, I'm like, don't tell me, I cannot. Like I'm right. Just, you know, I'm like, I'm gonna tell you what I think, I'm gonna tell you what I, so I can do that. You don't tell this one and that one, but you know, no.
Yeah,
and I hate that too. And I've always And I think in a way it's kind of protected me over time from that, from creating that false persona, because I just couldn't hold it together. But now that you said, I'm like, yes, I'm good.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and maybe rewrite the story that you have a terrible memory.
Yeah.
That's good. You just have the memory you have. And it's exactly, it's great. That's what it should be.
Works. Yeah. All right. Well, we have this recorded, so you know it's staying. Like if I invite you in some time again, like just, you know, we're gonna talk about your next book. We're just gonna start from that.
That's awesome. If you remember.
Well, thank you so much. That was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Zijana. It's great. Can I send people to my Instagram here?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I love, this is one of the favorite things I do is to do podcasts like this and then hear from people who actually watch the podcast. So hit me up on Instagram. It's just my name, Calvin Corelli, Correli, 2 R's, 1 L. And then DM me and say that you came from the Smart Branding Podcast. And if you want to share like a nugget or something that resonate with you, that's always awesome. And I actually have, if you're in the coaching business, I have a video of this 3 simple steps to get to 10K a month in US as a coach, just simplifying everything that I've seen that the best people do and what's working in the market. So if you send me the keyword 10K, I'll send that to you. But DM me on Instagram, say you came from Smart Branding Podcast.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure there will be some people in our audience who can benefit from that proposal. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go!